Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
The fact that the money's going up, it's good for the player. It's not really great for the fans, you know, because now they're going to be asked to get in and be involved. But back then, it was just some guys who were willing to take a chance with their reputation and pay money because their moral compass was set to win, you know.
Well, I don't think that's going to be a defense for every rule that's been broken in the history of the NCAA.
I don't know.
No.
Everybody likes to win.
What? I'm confused here. Okay. So, it's a round table here on ESPN 680 105.7. Jeff Lightsey with me today, as well as James Black producing the show. I'll get back to this in a second. But 27 area locations, and today's the day, folks. Cox and Evergreen Liquors, buy three, get one free cigar. Stock up for the running of the Derby and the Oaks. If you're going to Oaks or Thurby, if you're going to be out there all week, make sure you have plenty of cigars for the track. Buy three, get one free every Wednesday. If you miss this Wednesday, next Wednesday, your final chance to stock up before Derby. They also have the high-end bourbons, the regular old bourbons for mixers. They have the domestic beer, the craft beer, wines, everything you want. The one-stop shop for Derby 150. That's Cox's Evergreen Liquors. I think I'll be talking to them next Wednesday as well. So go ahead and check them out. This is Louisville's go-to liquor store. Walk-in, drive-through delivery. Cox's Evergreen Liquors. Cox'sLouisville.com. 437-9680 UPS Jobs. Text line now. Okay, so back to that sound. Isn't Blankenbaker like one of the leading voices of the 502 circle?
He was.
Yes, he's a founding member.
He's a founding member, right?
He has a sticker on his laptop and everything.
I saw it.
So
he's got a sticker and everything.
He has a sticker, and it's the old logo. It's not even the logo they use anymore.
It's the original logo.
He totaled up all his donations this morning. I forgot how much it was.
He totaled up his donations this morning?
Well, he's been doing it, what, $30 a month for 2-3 years, however long it's been around?
Okay, hold on. So you've been doing $30 for 2 years. We'll say that.
Added on some extra donations or something, but yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Okay, so $30 a month.
24 months.
So 24 months times 30. $720.
$720.
So there you go.
Still behind Diener.
He did 1,000 in one shot. Yeah. He's like, boom, here's 1,000. I donate more money to NIL than Blank. I donate $41 a month. How about that, Blank? I'm in the Pope Club. I don't know what it's called.
I've donated a total of 100. So
there
I've
you
got
go.
Work to do.
Hey, you're in there.
You're on the board.
I just think it's funny that, you know, Blank is like, it's not fair to the fans that had to pay more money. And it's like, I'm sure the 502 Circle people are like, shut up, Blank.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah. And they have protections. So essentially,
they have protections now?
Yeah, at least from
Trenton got away.
Trenton got away.
Well, what Trenton said to me, what he said to me, and it's in that interview.
He
said he did all of his obligations.
Right. We want him to play basketball.
No. So yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we didn't buy no autographs. We wanted you on the court.
Well, James is salty about that.
He saw the writing on the wall.
Yeah, right.
I can't blame him.
He's in practice like, no.
Yeah. His daddy's a basketball coach, too, and everybody that he's like, oh, this is the worst practices we ever seen. And I'm like, yeah, we're getting the hell up out of here.
Yeah,
like,
see you later. Kangaroo sounds good.
Yeah, we're good on it. Yeah, we're going to go see what that's talking about.
Yeah.
So, you remember seeing, like, Trey White last year look like he was forcing it sometimes? I feel like Trenton would have made some of them shots.
Yeah, definitely.
He may have, yeah.
Definitely.
Poor Trey White. Yeah. He tried. Hey, y'all had the sixth man of the year from the Pac-12 last year, too.
Yeah. He's freshman of the year. He's fresh.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I apologize. Freshman of the United States Man of the Year.
Yeah.
But I did think that sound was funny. Now, Jeff Borzello just tweeted this out. The latest on Stanford transfer Andre Stojakovic, according to sources, took a visit to Cal last weekend, and the Bears are very much in the mix. Mm-hmm. North Carolina, Kentucky are also heavily involved, as is Michigan, likely to take another visit this weekend. Nothing finalized. Others in pursuit include Creighton, Washington, USC, and Louisville.
Wow.
So I feel like,
of course we are. Of course Louisville
Well, I think
is.
Kentucky and Louisville are the new Arkansas. They're involved on everybody.
Well, when you got 12 spots to fill, I mean, you are 6, 7, whatever it is now. And like, because Louisville and Kentucky, it's going to be weird. Because we're going to play the exact same way.
Yeah.
And that's why we're in on all the same transfers. You're in on guys that can shoot.
Yeah.
And his name is Stojakovic.
Yeah.
I don't even have to know his first name.
Right.
His name is Stojakovic.
Stojakovic and Peja was a beast. Yes.
So, yeah, I believe you can shoot. I don't care what your percentages were. I just believe that you'll figure it out.
It's in your bloodline.
Exactly. So, like, when you have the two of the top five most, active three-point shooting teams in college basketball last year being Charleston and BYU, mm-hmm. then you're going to go after a lot of the same players because you need them to do the exact same thing.
Right.
You can shoot threes, you need guys to grab rebounds and block shots. Like, those are the things. Threes and dunks are pretty much what you're going to be relying on heavily, and so that's what leads you to a lot of the same players. And until your roster gets full by May 29th, you're going to be trying to contact, get involved, get visits from whoever you can, and that's the name of the game at this point.
No, absolutely. And it's going to be fascinating to see who lands some of these guys and who doesn't. So just a recap over the show, things we've discussed so far. We talked about Alvin Brooks III is now on the staff for Mark Pope, along with Jason Hart and Doug, I think his name is Fager. Fager, I think. Mm-hmm. I think it's not Fager, it's Fager, I think, is what I heard. So they're on board. Aiden Mahaney being targeted by Kentucky will be visiting this weekend. Jackson Robinson declared for the NBA draft, but if he does come back and enter the portal, feels like Kentucky is going to be the landing spot. Also had a long conversation about Jaden Quaintance.
Yes.
Felt like it was wrapped up yesterday for Louisville, and then all of a sudden today, it's a 180. Memphis is back in the picture, so that's going to be a spot to where you guys are definitely going to be, you know, kind of like waiting and seeing
it's
what
gonna,
he does.
It's going to be interesting to see what comes out from that, no matter who he picks.
Yeah.
Whether it's Louisville or Memphis, like, because the number figure, or at least a rough estimate, has already been thrown out there, and something is going to follow that up.
Which is funny because his dad denied it. But
he denied it, but he may be denying that it's 1.5 to 2 million, but if it's 1.3,
yeah,
you can deny it. You know what I mean?
Or one.
Yeah, if it's 1.45,
yeah.
It's lying. Yeah, but it's still a hell of a number. You know what I mean? For a 16-year-old.
Right.
So, yeah, you can deny it because maybe those exact figures are slightly off.
Sure.
To where you can actually say, no, it's not that. And even if it was that, y'all don't need to know my damn business. Like,
sure,
y'all need
to
be putting my youngin's business out there. Like, nah, this is in-house noise, so we gonna keep the noise off the internet. You may be exactly right, but guess what? I don't need everybody to know that. Because what that leads to criticism, especially if he's not that guy, or not a guy which you feel like is worth that
number.
It's
a good point. Like, if the number is out there.
Yeah.
And his dad was out there like, yeah, we're asking for 1.5, 2 mil, which, I agree with you. It's a bad look to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Just deny it. Say, no, that's not it, and move on. Because, I mean, how are they going to prove otherwise? They're not going to.
Because you can't prove with nobody's.
No,
like,
you
everything is an estimate.
Yes.
Like, I estimate what I think Caitlin Clark made or Angel Reese is making or whatever, but nobody actually knows. Unless you're filing their taxes, you have no
idea
what they made.
You have no idea. Mm-hmm. And so I like that, but that, you know, if it ends up being $2 million, everybody mm-hmm. knows it's $2 million.
Yes.
And he goes to Memphis or he goes to Louisville and he ends up being a bust.
Yeah.
And he looks like a 17-year-old and he's not as good as maybe we
exactly.
thought he was going to be. And then they're like, you're paying $2 million for this guy? Like, seriously?
And you don't even have to be a bust. You just don't have – you're just not $2 million worth of a player.
You're not $2
million
good.
You know what I mean? Like, $2 million, yeah, exactly. Like, you could still go and average 10 and 8 and people will be like, dang, we paid $10 million for 10 and 8? Yeah,
right.
But he's 17. You know what I mean? But at the same time, that number's there, and that number people couldn't forget because your head coach makes 2.3, too.
Right,
you have
exactly.
to add that into the
you're,
equation,
you're up so. There in the same stratosphere mm-hmm. as your coaches when it comes to NIL. Although that's all very, very fascinating. And one of the reasons why, you know, The numbers being thrown around, like, I don't believe. Like, I'm with you. I don't believe any of the numbers.
I think they're inflated.
I don't know. Like, they were saying, like, Oscar Tshiebwe made between $3 and $5 million or whatever it was his final year at Kentucky. I don't know that.
And he could only make it when you guys played in, like, the Bahamas or something.
In London,
yeah.
He couldn't make it.
So he made $3 million in a week?
Yeah, exactly. Because I remember when he went to – see. So Jason Ince went to London to watch them play Michigan.
Okay.
And he was like – all the other players were available pretty much any time the press was there. But Oscar wasn't because Oscar was off doing NIL stuff.
Yeah.
So he wasn't around as much as some of the other guys because that was his only opportunity.
Yes.
Same thing when they went to Bahamas. He just wasn't as available as other players because that was his chance to make money, which is a stupid rule.
It is a bad rule.
It's just dumb.
Because like Zach Edey couldn't make any money in college because he's Canadian.
Right.
I don't know if Ali Khalifa, you know, the guy that just recently came to Louisville.
He's Egyptian.
I don't know if he can make money.
Well, even Amari Williams and Great Olsebor, yeah, they're British.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are the rules there? So, it's...
If you can't... I assume if you can't make money if you're from Canada, then you can't make money if you're from England.
Absolutely. So, no, the whole thing's a mess, but the Jaden Quayton stuff, we'll keep our eye on. I'm sure that story will be changed and updated throughout the week. Oh, people are texting in, so let's see here real quick before I get to this article that Myron Metcalf. I'm trying to get Myron Metcalf on to be on here on Friday. Do you want to try? Because this is an interesting article. I asked some good questions. Texter Janelle Davis trending to Arkansas. Lena McNeely trending to UConn, but I thought UK was the gold standard. Who's trending to you? Who's trending to you? Well, that's my question. Who are you? Who's trending to you? Nobody. Okay, we have a tweet here, so let me click on this link. Let's see here. Kentucky men's basketball. Is it just welcoming Alvin Brooks? Oh no, Mark Fox. So Mark Fox is going to be that one of the assistants. He's going to be the assistant on the bench that can't recruit.
Okay.
So that'll be
like
Mark.
The Peyton Siva role.
Peyton Siva role. Bruiser Flint. That's what he is.
Okay.
For Calipari. So, and he was the guy that gave
Mark
Pope his first job at Georgia.
I was about to say, where do I know that name?
Georgia.
From?
Georgia. Okay. He's the last Georgia coach to actually have a winning record.
Yeah.
The rest of them, like overall winning record. Yeah. Like he was like 4 or 5 games over 500. Not saying he's good because he's terrible when he went to Cal. I hope it rains on Derby 150 so it pisses Drew off. That's not nice.
It isn't nice. At all. Because it's not just Drew that'll be out there, guys.
I'm gonna be out there. Jeff might be out there. Who knows? Texter, I got in the car with my work team after Keeneland and Weird Wednesdays on, got me a few looks. Good. I hope it opened everyone's mind. Let's go. I love that. Texter, I know we have no way of knowing, but is there any insight on how much Jaden Quaintance was promised while he was committed to UK? Seems like we didn't hear anything about that prior to him committing, but now it's a bidding war. Word on the street is UK didn't have big time money under Cal. Could it have anything to do with it? That I don't know. I do. Okay, so the new narrative now that's being pushed is that, and I believe part of this because I saw it with my own eyes, is that while Cal was at Kentucky, the NIL situation was bad.
Mm-hmm.
Which, okay, if Oscar Tshiebwe is making money, we know...
Never stopped from getting players.
Never stopped from getting players. Reed Shepard, Rob Dillingham, they had NIL money.
Absolutely.
I mean, Antonio Reeves had NIL money.
National NIL
money. National NIL. So this idea that Calipari didn't have any money is absurd. Now, I think there is now more money because the boosters are back on board.
Seems like you guys have a cohesive collective now.
Yes, there's a collective now where it's not just Calipari saying or Mark Pope saying, I'm just going to run this on my own. I don't need your help, which is what was going on with John Calipari. Mm-hmm. He's like, I can do this. It's my NIL. These are my players. I'm going to do it my way. So Bush was like, fine. You don't want our help? You don't get our help.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do believe that NIL... as far as the collective, like you just mentioned, Jeff, that's a great point.
Yes.
NIL is a collective with the university in tow, in conjunction, probably a better space than it is.
Yes.
But to have this idea that there was no money for these players, while you're still getting Boogie Flan and Jaden Quaintance and Samto Cyril and Carter Knox and all these dudes... Get out of here.
They
with
could
that.
Go anywhere.
They could go. They literally could go anywhere
these
they
kids
want.
They can go anywhere. Yeah. As we see now.
Yes.
Like as you see, they have all these suitors.
Yeah.
So to tell me that they were just like there was nothing going to Kentucky, but they can go anywhere and get, I mean, if the rumors are right, $1 million?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
You tell me if Boogie Flan went up to UConn, to Storrs, Connecticut, and knocked on Dan Hurley's door, he's going to tell him no.
Come on.
Yeah. I mean,
these kids can go anywhere.
Yeah, these kids can go, like you said, they can go anywhere. Why are they going to Kentucky that's broke? And again, it's a certain entity in this state that's pushing this because they don't like John Calipari, and they just won't let it die. And they try to do everything they can to disparage his name on the way out. And again, I'd say this for the 1,000,000th time, I'm fine with Calipari being gone. I was ready for him to be gone. Mm-hmm. But let's not hear now change the story. Like, oh, we hated him all along. Oh, it was bad the entire time he was here. Because that's what I'm hearing now.
Yeah.
Now I'm hearing from these specific folks that I'm talking about that the entire time he was here was bad. Yeah. It was all bad. He didn't have any money. No one wanted to donate to his collective. The NBA players that he said were donating to the collective, they weren't really ever going to do it. We never believed that they were doing it.
Right?
Even though they were bragging about it, about how Devin Booker's going to give money and how Anthony Davis is going to give money. Oh, we never really believed that was going to happen. Like, come on now.
Yeah.
Come on now.
I mean, you could
still respect what Cal did and be happy with Mark Pope without doing the revisionist history on how you behaved when Calipari was here. Like, I'm not going to change the way I thought about John Calipari now that he's gone. That's the way I thought about it.
Absolutely. And think, what is the purpose of NIL or collectives? It's to get players.
Yes.
It's talent acquisition. Cal never had a problem getting the talent. Now, what he did with said talent is a different thing.
It's a different story.
But to act like, oh, he didn't have any money, he couldn't get, he got every player that he wanted.
Yeah.
Like, every single year. For a 15-year stretch, Cal never had worse than, what, a number 3 overall recruiting class.
I think that may have been his lowest. I mean, 3 or 4.
For 15 years.
Yeah.
Like, not for a cup of coffee. No, for literally the lifespan of all your children.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, stuff like
that's
that.
That's the only thing they've known growing up.
Exactly. And it's not just them. It's a lot of people. Like, even if you're 25, for your adolescent years up until now, you only knew of Kentucky as Cal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, and you always met Kentucky as Cal with NBA guys. So it didn't matter if it was pre-transfer portal, post-transfer portal, pre-NIL, post-NIL. Mm-hmm. Cal got guys.
Yeah.
Like, so that's the only, like, that's singularly the only purpose of NIL is to acquire talent. So what is the purpose? Like, even if he didn't have any money, he still got players. And you had guys at the number 2 recruiting class and 6 guys coming in this year.
Right.
Until he decided to leave. So,
and maybe there was, and to the texture's point, it says, but was there NIL money in McDonald's bags or maybe just money phones? I don't think it was either. But I mean, to your point, like even if they didn't have this war chest that was being claimed now, okay, fine. They were still able to work out deals for them with other places.
Yes.
And hell, even Jacob Toppin was on an AT&T commercial, and Andy and I battled about this.
He was.
Last year.
Yes.
Like, they were still able to broker that deal because he's wearing Kentucky stuff in the commercial.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so they were able to get him that deal and broker that deal as well. So that this entire thing with, like, they didn't have any, maybe they didn't have as much money on hand from collective, from boosters as they do now, but they were still able to get stuff for dudes.
And here's the thing. Guess what? You didn't need it. You didn't need it.
No, you really
didn't. Because he got the players. You might need 5'10", whatever the number is, to get half the type of players that Cal got. Like, you may need that.
What if they spend more money, collective NIL, getting these dudes?
I mean, that's what it sounded like.
It could
you can't pocket it. You can't take it home. Once
right.
it's there, you're not getting your $41 back.
No,
you know
no.
What I mean? Like, so therefore, like, it got to be spent somewhere, and it's going to be spent on Chandler. You know what I mean?
Colin Chandler.
It's going to be spent on these guys. But so is that what you want? Now, maybe it results better in March, but the excitement, the allure, and the Hollywood glitz and glam, and like I said, the Drakes and the OVOs and all that stuff, those days are gone.
Yeah.
And yeah, you had your war chest of NIL. But you're not going to have the celebrity type or NBA type players coming through. That's not to say that it's better or worse. It just will be different.
Yeah.
It'll just be different.
Yeah, and I'm interested to see what Alvin Brooks and Josh Hart can do, because obviously it's too late in the
game for
this cycle to see what those guys can bring to the table. Now, maybe they can help out with some transfer portal guys or whatnot, but you'll be able to see more of what both of
your
them
grassroots
can do.
High school recruiting.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That'll be the next cycle, and then that'll really put to test what the NIL conversation organization is. Let's read some text here real quick. Texter says, is Alvin Brooks going to bring Edgecombe? I highly doubt it. I think he'll stay with Scott Drew in Baylor. So no, I don't think that'll be the case. Very rarely do players follow assistant coaches. They'll follow head coaches,
yes,
but assistant coaches, I can't think of one off the top of my head that's ever happened.
Especially if the head coach doesn't leave.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Especially if the head coach doesn't leave, like, no, they're not following.
And apparently, I read, too, that Brooks and some of the other assistants, like, behind the scenes, were like, hey, Scott Drew, let's go to Kentucky. They wanted to go, and then Scott Drew's wife ruined it.
I can believe it. I mean, oh, it's sure. Very believable.
Wait,
I mean,
Alvin Brooks is here now.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously he has some interest.
So it's not like he wanted to go no matter what. It's like, I'm getting to Lexington no matter what.
Yeah,
like,
I'm going to get there. Yeah, I'm going to get there. I don't care if it's with you or whoever. Or Mark Pope or Billy Donovan or Rick Pitino Richard Pitino.
I'm going to 859. I'm going to be at Keeneland and Derby.
No, you're 100% right on that.
To that text, earlier you talked about the thing on Jaden Quaintance. And like, what was his number or whatever. Like, we don't know his number, but why his value was high now. I can tell you why his value is high now. Because everybody's trying to build a roster. Think about it. Like, when he signed, everybody had full rosters.
Yeah.
Like, when he signed and committed, everybody had full rosters. Now, during this cycle, everybody's building a roster. Kentucky's got to get 8 players. Louisville's got to get 6 players. USC's still filling out the roster. Arkansas's got to get 10 players. Like, everybody's building a roster, and so therefore, and the guys that you're bidding for or you're going after are either transfer portal guys who are proven or in this very small of high-level NBA-type high school recruits.
Yeah.
And so there's a buzz and there's certain things. Obviously, the talent, but there's also a buzz that comes with landing a 5-star two-year guy.
100%.
So therefore, if I'm building my roster, then that value of that 5-star, especially if he has to stay 2-year guy, just went through the roof because we're all building rosters and we're all looking for the same thing. And so that's why I think his value has skyrocketed now versus what it probably was when he signed, you know, to Kentucky back in December or whenever it was.
Because all those guys were, you're right, because all those guys were Kentucky guys. Now all of a sudden you have, you know, a few of these 5-star McDonald All-Americans types out there that weren't there before.
No.
Lee McNeely's out there. Yeah. So they're like, he's a high commodity. I'm sure he's got a high bargaining price.
Absolutely.
Jaden Quaintance. You know, if Boogie and Billy Richmond, you know, if they weren't going to go to Arkansas, which it looks like they're going to go to Arkansas.
Yeah.
If they weren't to go, they'd be in the same position.
Absolutely.
Like, is there a Boogie Fland out there? Oh, hell no. Yeah. I'll pay you $2 million to Boogie Fland. Mm-hmm. You come over here right now. You score 17 points in the McDonald's All-American game. Mm-hmm. Number one rated point guard in the class. Mm-hmm. You have comparisons,
lottery picks,
yeah,
all
comparisons
stuff.
To Rob Dillingham and mm-hmm. his creativity with the ball, his
absolutely.
Ball handling skills. Oh yeah, I'll take.
Let me
on
get
my
one
team.
Of those. Like, yeah, if anybody else had a chance to get Rob Dillingham and they think Boogie Flynn could be that a version of that, yeah, everybody wants a piece of that. Like, everybody wants one of those. If everybody thinks that, you know, I've heard Luke Hancock compare Jaden Quaintance's game to like Montrezl Harrell. Yeah. If I can get a Montrezl Harrell, oh yeah, let me see what that's talking about. Like, yeah, I'll pay some right. money for that. So yeah, no, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's get a few more texts and we'll take a break. Texter, great point by Jeff. Always love his insight. The Cards still suck, though. Texter, we got players when Coleman and O came to UK. They're getting players also without Chin Coleman and Orlando Otigo. You got to remember, you know, BJ Boss was like number 3 in that class. Terrence Clark was like number...
He's like 5.
Like number 5. Mm-hmm. I mean, Devin Askew was the number 1 point guard. I mean, he was. Being a bum. But, I mean, he was the number 1 point guard. So let's not act like Cal wasn't getting guys before they showed back up again. I mean, that's not true. Those guys were gotten by Joel Justice and Tony Barbee. I mean, let's be real here. Come on now, stop that. Texture, I feel like this other guy on with you has no idea about Kentucky basketball. Who gives a bleep about Drake? UK will be bigger than a temp pop star. Will they? I mean, will it though? That's the thing that, well, I mean, like, there's a certain, that's what the entire Myron Metcalf article is about. And I'm going to try to have him on Friday. It says, I mean, here are the bullet points here. How has Kentucky's place in college basketball changed as the spot has evolved? What is the biggest challenge of coaching in Kentucky? Can choosing a former player as a head coach help Kentucky win again? Is this the still the best job in men's college basketball? These are the questions that people are asking, because when you go from a John Calipari to a Mark Pope, mm-hmm. there are going to be questions. Yes. Now, if you would have gone from John Calipari to Dane Hurley, Scott Drew, mm-hmm. Billy Donovan, there are no questions.
None at all.
But when you go from John Calipari to Mark Pope,
yes.
there are going to be questions about, and look, I'm a Kentucky fan. I still think Kentucky's Kentucky no matter who the coach is, but nationally speaking, that's not always the case.
Because it's that's the thing. I think Kentucky, I'm not devaluing Kentucky the brand.
No, you're not.
I'm not pulling a DeMarcus Cousins, right? I'm not doing that. But what I will say is Cal is Cal. We can't act like
there's
John
a certain
Cal.
Specific percentage of value, cachet, whatever you want to call
yes.
it, that John Calipari, look at Arkansas right now.
Yes.
He upped their profile.
Absolutely. We're talking about the Tyson Chicken Dino Nuggets and Walmart. All these people just didn't become Arkansas alums. They've always been there, but they're coming out of the woodworks for Cal because
yeah.
they understand the marketability and the value of having a John Calipari on your sidelines and being able to bring in the type of recruits and the type of player and the type of profile that John Calipari is able to bring. I think they would be okay with what you guys have had for the last 15 years.
Sure.
Or even the last five. Even the early exits in March, they'd be okay with having the $3 billion in NBA contracts, because nobody else can say that but Cal. Hell, they're even broadcasting it already. One of the graphics they put out had Kelton Johnson, PJ Washington, and Tyler Hero.
Oh, yeah, they're doing
already. We talked about that.
Do with Arkansas.
Nothing.
Had nothing to do with Arkansas.
But now it does.
But they're going to use it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now
Kenny Payne did the same thing.
He did the exact same thing.
When Nolan Smith and Kenny Payne had the Dream Chasers thing, and it had Duke players on it, Kentucky players on it, Oregon players for Josh Jamison. Oh, absolutely.
And all Josh Jamison did was get him some water.
Yeah, got some water.
Fill up the bottle, Jamison. And he's getting to talk about how he helped make Dylan Brooks and all these. Come on, man.
No, you didn't. No, you did not.
Why are you shining his damn shoes?
Tying his shoes for him.
Yeah, go get me a size 12, Jamison. Yeah, go get us. All you was doing wasn't running no plays, didn't have no clipboard, and all he did was hold a clipboard here. But go get Dylan his size 13 and get the hell out the way while we play basketball.
Get out of here, jump man, Josh. I had a source tell me, and I'm not going to out the source.
You're not supposed to.
Now, exactly. Now that Kenny Payne and them are gone, I can say this on air. He went to a practice. He was able to go to a practice.
Keep going, my bad.
And he said during the practice, a trainer was giving Josh Jamison a back rub while practice was going on. That's what he was doing. And I'll tell you the source after, when we get off air.
No, yeah.
And you know this guy is telling the truth. You and I both know this person.
I believe it.
And
I 100% believe it. I got to know him.
My jaw dropped. And he was like, no, seriously. He's like, I've never seen anything like that before.
So, as bad as their practices were, they used to let a lot of people come to them.
Yeah.
So, there's a lot of, not just, Luke Hancock and former players. Just regular Louisville people. Louisville people. So, what you're saying, 100% believe.
Yeah.
Because I've heard it before.
You've heard similar things to that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so Josh
because
Davis
there was way too many people that would be in these practices wondering what the hell's going on.
Can you imagine if you walked into practice and Bruiser Flint had his feet like getting massaged or getting a pedicure?
While
they're practicing.
Not after, not before.
Right.
While the actual practice is
while practice is going on, he'd get a little back rub.
I think it was Jeff that told me, but someone said it'd be like an hour before the game and Jamison would be outside cutting his grass.
It wasn't me, but that's funny.
Hey, man, you got a game today.
It's about to rain. I got to get this grass cut.
Yeah.
I got this grass cut. This grass ain't going to cut itself. Yeah. It's not going to do it by itself. I got to get out of here.
It's incredible.
Even wear Jordans while you're cutting your grass. Yeah.
Yeah, of course he does. What?
All right, let's take a quick break. On the other end, I want to look at this top 25 football coaches list.
Yeah, you do.
Kentucky having a UCLA quarterback on campus today, and congrats to Reggie Bush. More of that here on the Roundtable.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Did you see Iowa's Australian quarterbacks at the transfer portal?
Yeah, he'll probably play offensive line or something.
Who's going to take him? Where are you transferring to, bro? We watched you hand the ball off 30 times and score 4 points a game. Even the cancer kids in the hospital were offended. What are we doing?
Wow.
What are we doing?
Welcome back to the Round Table with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
That's two haymaker rejoins back to back. Got, whoa.
Who was offended again? I don't know if I caught that one.
Oh, you hear the... Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Like Jeff. You didn't know. Oh, Jeff. You see my eyes got like, who's that event? It's a round table here on ESPN 680 1057. Final segment here. Thank you to Jeff Lightsey for hanging out with me again today. Been a lot of fun these last 2 days. James Black back with us today as well. Also, Louisville Sports Live tonight, 7 p.m. over on 93.9 The Ville. That'll be directly following the Dan McDonald Show at 6 p.m. Thursday, Soccer City, 6 p.m. on ESPN 680 1057. Friday, Inside Churchill Down, 6 p.m. on ESPN 680 1057. Saturday, Down the Stretch, that's 9 a.m. on 93.9 The Ville. The Victory 4 Mason Sports Show with Jeff Lightsey and James Black, 10 to 11, 93.9 The Ville. And also Sunday Morning Hangover, 10 to noon. Phil Baker, Nick Curran, Zach Cantrell, ESPN 680, 105.7. LOL Big Rig having a source and acting like a journalist. Man, where's Andy? I'm not acting like a journalist. It was an anecdote that I shared, and that's that. I wasn't trying to break news or be a journalist. It was called an anecdote. You understand what an anecdote is. It's an interesting story. And I couldn't tell who told me the interesting story because that person has ties to the University of Louisville and I want to out him. Is that okay with you? He's a friend. Get out of here. Bye. Texter, he should have went and got the right damn leggings. All right, 437-968 UPS job text. All right, Jeff. So they did this top 25 coaches in college football. Did you see this?
Okay. Yeah, I tweeted about it.
This is on three. Yeah, On3 put this out here.
Jesse from On3? Simington? Yeah.
Jesse Simington from On3. I got it right here. 2024 top 25 head coach rankings. Okay, let's see. Let's see who's in the top 10. Then we'll talk about who is in and who's not in. All right, so top 10 I think is pretty spot on. Kirby Smart, number one. Now that Nick Saban's gone, mm-hmm. Kirby takes the mantle. Brian Kelly, LSU, number two. Kellen DeBoer, three. Number four, Ryan Day, Ohio State. Five, Steve Sarkisian. Dabo, number six, still somehow. I don't know. Seven, Mike Norvell. Actually, I have Mike Norvell up a little higher. He turned it around at Florida State. I think he's doing a good job.
I think he's right where he's supposed to be. I like Norvell.
Fair enough. Kyle Whittingham, number eight. He's out of Utah.
I was surprised they had him that high, but I like it.
I like Kyle Whittingham.
I think Kyle Whittingham is a really good coach.
Lincoln Riley, USC. He's dropped. He was higher on this list.
He would have been. He was like top five just last year.
Absolutely. Lane Kiffin, number 10 at Ole Miss. Okay, so I won't go through the rest of them, but I will zip down here.
Yeah, you will.
And I'm going.
You ain't going that far.
I'm going pretty far.
You ain't going. I'm looking
right, number
right
20.
At it.
There we go. Number 20, Jeff Brohm, Louisville. Mama's call home proved immediately profitable for the Cardinals program as Brohm returned to his alma mater and took the program to his first ACC title game appearance.
Yeah, he did.
The Cards went 10-4, including an upset over Notre Dame.
Yeah, we did.
Previously, but lost three in a row. Previously, Brohm won the Big Ten West in his final season at Purdue.
Yeah, he did.
And has four top 10 wins since 2018.
Does.
He's an excellent X's and O's play caller and has become one of the more aggressive coaches in the transfer portal,
come
obviously.
On.
So He breaks into the list at number 20. Now, Mark Stoops,
ooh,
not on the list. The first time in a while. I mean, Mark Stoops generally is on these top 25 coaches lists.
Well, I know what top 25 list he is on.
What? The highest paid coaches he's in the top five.
Yeah.
I say top 10 at
top
least.
10,
yeah, yeah. He's on that. But I think Stoops has used up some of the goodwill that he had being the coach of the little engine that could.
Absolutely.
And that's what he was for multiple years. And he's had great success at Kentucky in light of what Kentucky's history has been.
Yes.
But you have back-to-back 7-5 seasons and then a questionable, you know, situation going into this season. Brand new quarterback, another brand new offensive coordinator.
Texas and Oklahoma coming to the conference.
Exactly. Your schedule's a lot more difficult this year than it has been in previous years. Mm-hmm. I think this is a situation. This happened to Calipari, too.
Yeah.
To some extent. I mean, it was you would pencil in Kentucky top three every single year preseason.
Yes.
During the bulk of his tenure.
Mm-hmm.
Then the last 3-4 years, he lost a lot of that goodwill because of the early March exits.
Yes.
Now Mark Stoops is in a situation to where it's like people are kind of giving that side eye, like, okay, how much of that you did with those two 10-win seasons, how sustainable is that?
Mm.
How much of that has to do with you actually coaching? Was that more of these teams were down and you were able to, you know, rise above them, but now they're kind of getting back to where you are? And I'm not saying I believe that. I'm trying to think of what the narrative would be to keep him out of these lists, where for a number of years he was a mainstay here.
Well, think about it. There's two guys on this list I'm looking at right now that they feel like has now passed you, and that wasn't always the case. Oh, Dinky Witts at Mizzou.
Yeah, he's number 25.
And Josh Heupel at Tennessee.
Yeah, you're right.
For a while, like Stoops was better than the guys at Tennessee. Like, whoever that was, he's
better than Jeremy Pruitt, better than Butch Jones.
Yes,
he
was
beat
better
both of them.
Exactly.
Yep. You're exactly right.
And oh, Missouri wasn't worth a quarter. So, like, but now Drinkwitz got a win over Ohio State. Went over a convincing win last year over Stoops in Lexington.
Yeah.
So, like, those are the type of guys that have passed you up inside the conference.
It's like they knocked him out of it.
Yeah, they passed you up inside the conference. It's still shaky with whatever's happened in South Carolina. But then you add Oklahoma and Texas. And now you know they're better than you.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I can't have you any higher than that when the two guys who are the two teams, two programs that were already in the conference have now kind of passed you up. If Florida ever gets it together, you assuming that they're going to pass you up, and you're battling with teams like South Carolina, and you just added Oklahoma and Texas.
Yeah.
So, like, that is why, like you said, that goodwill's got to get dried up really quick because the conference just got harder.
It got
harder.
The
conference is not getting any easier. It just got a lot tougher with historically better football teams, and you're still trying to hold on to those 10 win seasons from years ago, and it's just not going to fly.
Yeah, no, you're right. And your point about Heupel and Drinkwitz, because you said the Missouri coach wasn't on that list.
No.
The Tennessee coach wasn't on that list. And now they're both on the list. You know, Venables is on the list, and not Heupel, but Sarkisian's he's on the list now. And it does feel like there's a shift. Not away from Kentucky and Mark Stoops, but it's kind of like, okay, this is a big season for them.
No, it is.
This is a big season for them.
It is.
Like, this is.
And you know who knows it? Stoops knows it.
That's why he's trying to go to A&M.
Absolutely. 100%.
I mean, that's not a secret. I mean, that's why he tried to go to A&M, because he knows how tough this is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, Jeff. It feels like it's in flux. And I don't really know. It's kind of like how I feel about Mark Pope. Like, I like him. I like the moves he's made on his staff. I really like the moves he's made on his staff. I think he could be successful. With Stoops, it's like I kind of feel the same way, but I have more evidence with Stoops.
You do.
Like, I can still sit back and say, okay, I can think of what Mark Pope can do.
Mm-hmm.
And he has limitless money, but he's got a lot of money. He hasn't been in a situation like this before. Let's see what he can do.
And it is Kentucky basketball.
And it is Kentucky basketball, which is a different beast than Kentucky football.
Absolutely.
With Mark Stoops, man, it's definitely kind of like a show-me type year. Like, well, okay, you're going to try to leave and go to A&M and try to get out of here. Well, now you're here. You're going to be here for the time being. It's time for you to pony up now. You asked the fans to pony up last season. You're off these lists now. Now it's time for you to pony up. Now it's time for you to get out there. And don't give me 6-6. Don't give me 7-5. Get out there and win some damn football games. And get that swagger back.
Yeah, and to your point, like, it's with Mark Pope, there is more left to the imagination, right? You could say he was
100%.
He was handcuffed to BYU because you are.
Yeah.
You're handcuffed to a certain extent at a place like BYU, especially at a place like Utah State, and to be at Kentucky and to have the NIL and to, you know, to actually, I mean, Mark Pope's not a bad basketball coach either. Like, he can coach basketball. He had BYU as a six seed last year. Like, he can coach. And so, and they beat Kansas and Baylor last year at BYU. So, like, it's not like he can't coach. And so there's, you can talk yourself into it more left to your imagination. For Stoops, you've had him for over a decade.
Yeah, 12 years.
12 years. Like, you've had it over a decade, so you know what it is. Like, you know what it is, and you know that whatever that is, couldn't get to the top of the SEC that had Missouri down, that had Florida down, that had
Tennessee
down. And now, at least Missouri and Tennessee have kind of got it figured out. Florida's still going to be trash.
Yeah.
But you're adding Texas and Oklahoma.
Right.
So you couldn't get to the top, or you were fiddling in the middle when the conference was just at this amount of teams. Now you're adding two more good teams. You're not adding two more Vanderbilt.
Exactly. Yeah, you're adding two damn good teams that could make the college football playoff.
Absolutely. Yeah. And historically are powerhouses. Like, these are historic powerhouses. And so with that, it's like, okay, you couldn't get to the top of the mantle. You were doing 7-5 with these programs being down. These programs are now coming up, and now you're adding two heavyweights. It's like,
it's gonna be tough, man.
Many expectations. It is. I had a guy tweeted me yesterday when you said Jeff's gonna be on the show, and he's like, please don't bend the knee to Jeff again when he tries to take a shot at UK football and our glorious 7-5 because we stomp a mud hole in the Ville's ass every year.
And of course, well,
don't get used to that, buddy. It's not. You see, our coach is on the top 25 because he's making top 25 moves, and because we got something for the Big Blue Nation.
We'll see. I mean, I got to see it to believe it.
Yeah, I agree.
I was standing in that stadium. I said, Tox was standing next to me. He was giving me some of that bourbon. I had that bullet bourbon from Tox. I'm laughing. I'm like, where's the state of Louisville? Where's Ashton Gelati? I was being obnoxious.
They came back to the studio before the game ended.
Yeah.
And you know, we tricked that game off. We were winning it first.
Yes,
so it was a somber move. That's when it got bad.
Kick return and all. Oh, my God.
I mean, that's the first time. You, Anna, and Justin, I know you're listening. Justin Jeffries. That's the first time they sounded like they had tank tops on and no teeth. That's the first time they sounded that way.
Tank tops and no teeth. Yeah, that game's still sick. You know who else? It made me sick to my stomach, and I'm still sick about it, but you know who's more sick than me?
Who?
Old Jeff Brohm. Yeah, he's still sick about it. And that's why he became the Portal King.
Yeah.
And went out and got his guys.
We're
making some moves, baby.
We'll see.
You know, 10-2 or whatever, rolling up into Kroger Field.
That's right. Kroger Field where champions play.
Yeah. I'm going to be there.
You'll be there?
Yeah, I'm going to be there. I ain't gonna miss this. Our first win in 6 years. You don't think I'm gonna miss that? Yeah, I ain't gonna miss
that's
that
pretty
one.
Presumptive.
I ain't gonna miss that one. Yeah,
that's very presumptive.
I'm gonna be that. This is year six. Year, 5 years too long.
Okay.
I'm feeling good about it. Real good.
Now, what do you feel about Reggie Bush getting his Heisman Trophy back?
That made my heart smile this morning.
I'm very happy. Yes. I'm very, very happy that Reggie Bush is getting his Heisman Trophy back. It's been too long.
Yes.
I think that the first time around when it was taken from him, it was still that illusion that college athletics was this amateur, you know, pristine product that is you know, can't be sullied by money or anything like that. So I am glad to see that. And a lot of college football people came out and said, congratulations to old Johnny Manziel.
Yes.
He released a statement in support of Reggie Bush. So, no, it was good. I'm glad Reggie. He should have never had it taken away.
No.
It was stupid. It was asinine. He was perfect. He was fantastic.
Yeah, Reggie was one of my first favorite non-Louisville athletes. Like, so guys that either weren't from here or that didn't play here, he was like it. Like, he was it for me. I used to have battles with friends at school. Reggie Bush, Adrian Peterson. I had a Reggie Bush.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Yeah. Adrian Peterson, yeah.
Exactly.
In Oklahoma, yeah.
I used to argue that. I had a Reggie Bush. You know, Fathead back when that was real big in my room with him and the Saints. So yeah, no, I was extremely happy that Reggie Bush was able to get his Heisman.
Was that
back.
The last? Was it the last like superstar college football team? Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, Lindell White. Who are the receivers?
That Dwayne Jarrett.
And, yeah,
those guys. Steve Smith came later. So like, yeah, they were they were definitely a superstar team. I feel like
Because they were like Hollywood
superstars. Yeah, and it's because they were in L.A. Because they were in L.A. and we didn't have social media the way we do. So, like, when you got to see them, it was a spectacle. Because, like, when you got to see them on TV, it was a spectacle. And when fans got to see them in person, social media's kind of made it, like, made a lot of people.
It's watered it down a little bit.
Yeah, it's made it, like, there'll never be, like, super mega stars like there used to be. Because the reason why those guys were so, like, one, they were really good at whatever they did. And two, you didn't get to see them that often. Like, you didn't know what they were having for breakfast or where they go to the lounge right. or all that. Like, but with social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, whatever, like, now I know everything about this person. I can look them, I can Google them now. And that wasn't always the case, especially during that time, getting on somebody's timeline and finding out Reggie Bush goes to hang out at wherever.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we know all that stuff about whoever your favorite athlete is. You had to either read it in a magazine, read it in a newspaper.
The allure kind of is gone. Yeah.
That part of it, and that's why the stars will never be as big as they were, like, even as early as Reggie Bush.
Because they're so accessible now. Yeah, that's a good point. But I remember, you know, watching those Notre Dame USC games when, you know, you had Brady Quinn and Jeff Samardzija, and I mean, they had stars of their own, but I mean, USC was a completely different thing.
Yeah, and the fact they were in Hollywood and they hung out with Snoop Dogg and Will Ferrell,
celebrities,
and
they'd
all
go to their games,
would hang out around the building and go to their practices and go to their games, like that made it even. And like I said, the fact that you couldn't see them very often, except for on Saturdays or when College Game Day or whatever did a preview, like, it's the only time you ever got to see him, and it's like, wow, I get to watch. And then when you saw him, they did something spectacular.
They were great. Like every time Reggie Bush touched the ball, it was electrifying.
Exactly. So that like you said, the social media kind of took some of the allure, but to see Reggie get his Heisman back is going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome seeing him up on that Heisman stage.
This is a good tweet or text. LSU, go ahead, James.
I was going to say with Joe Burrow.
LSU's really good. Joe Burrow and
Chase.
Yeah.
Jeffrey.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really good one.
They were superstars. It helps them too because of what they became in the pros too.
They all became lights out.
Now
the pros.
They were beating the hell out of people, you know, that last year, and then they got to the pros and kind of kept it going.
They kind of kept it like
Justin Jefferson is probably the best receiver in the league.
Yeah,
Chase is top five, top ten, and then Burrow went to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when he's not healthy, I mean when he's not hurt, he goes to Super
Bowl. And outside Reggie Bush, the rest of those guys were busts.
Yeah, I mean, even Reggie wasn't nearly as good in the pros as he was in college.
No, he had good years. With the Saints, but he wasn't that, you know, dynamic type player that he was at USC. And then Matt Leinart was a bust for the Cardinals, and Lindell White wasn't he with
flamed
the Titans?
He flamed out.
None of those receivers ended up doing everything. But yeah, that's the success that they've had at the next level.
Yes.
I think is something that also helps them out and kind of sets them apart.
Yeah, those Miami Hurricanes had some good teams too in like the early 2000s.
Yeah, they were
before Reggie and them. But they had a team. I mean, the portal will never allow you to have teams like this.
No,
anymore.
I mean,
like,
Frank Gore, Willis McGahee,
and they have like four
Ken
running backs.
Dorsey.
Four NFL running backs on one team.
On one team.
Jeremy Shockey and Winslow on the same team.
And they were the backups. Like, all pros are your backups. Come on, man.
Well, even Florida. I think Florida, too, with Tim Tebow.
And all those studs.
They had all those dudes on that team. The Pouncey brothers.
Brandon Spikes, Joe Hayden.
All of them. Yeah.
Hernandez.
You know, I mean, to say, but the dude was, I mean, he was really, really
and
good.
Even as early as, like, as late as the Mac Jones Alabama team had, or had Mac Jones, Tua, and Jalen Hurts all on the same team.
Yeah.
Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, Waddle, and Devontae Smith.
Yeah.
And once Saban found out the portal wouldn't allow him to do that, he was out.
He was out of here, man. We can't keep these guys around. I'm out.
Speaking of being
out of here, it's time for us to get out of here, too. Jeff, thanks for helping out these last 2 days. I can't talk this last segment. Last 2 days has been a lot of fun, really insightful. Good to get a different voice in here to combat me a little more than others are able to do. So, man, I appreciate it. You know you'll be back on for sure. Absolutely.
Thank you so much. As always, I appreciate it so much.
Absolutely love it. I just got an article tweeted at me. Our Oklahoma fisherman believe friend was going to sacrifice him to Bigfoot.
Wow.
I'll have to read that after the show. I love that. Thank you, Bourbon West. All right. We'll go ahead and get out of here. Tomorrow, I'm going to try to get our good friend Phil Baker on and then go from there. It's the Roundtable ESPN 680 105.7.